editorial director of Promax BDA, and this is the Daily Brief Podcast. If you haven't already, you can subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and now on Spotify. We also encourage you to head over to Apple Podcasts to rate and review us. So today I have the privilege of having back with me Freeform's Senior Vice President of Marketing, Brand, and Creative, Tricia Melton, to talk about two important launches coming up for the network, Grownish and Alone Together. And if you guys recall, Tricia last joined me over the summer to discuss the premiere of The Bold Type, which went really well for Freeform and led to a second season renewal. So hello, Tricia. Thank you so much for taking the time and coming back.
Hey, Paige. It's great to be back.
So we appreciate you taking this time as we're so close to Christmas now. So let's talk quickly about The Bold Type since we spent some time on it. So how would you sum up how that show did and how you felt like the marketing and the social engagement ratings, et cetera, panned out?
We were thrilled with how the show did on a couple of different levels. I mean, you know, you look at shows and you evaluate them within, you know, different spectrums and different rationales. So from a ratings perspective, which is obviously really important, one of the key things that we saw about The Bold Type was that it grew week to week, which is obviously something that you want to see in a new season, the first season of a show. Also, really importantly, what we saw immediately with The Bold Type was passionate critical acclaim from The New York Times to Refinery 29 to Bustle to Vanity Fair. It was immediately widely recognized and continues to be so. As a matter of fact, in all of the end of the year and many, many end of the year roundups on, you know, top shows, best moments, best characters, The Bold Type has a prominent place on these lists. So that for us told us that we really struck a cultural chord, you know, with the show, and we had, you know, tremendous passionate fan engagement out of the gate. So all good.
Yeah, all good. And then, so that'll come back in 2018. So, you'll probably be amazed to hear this, but you've been at Freeform for about 6 months already. And I feel like, I mean, I think Freeform did this before, but I think you have really worked to move the network's marketing focus over to social and away from more traditional media and totally away from things like print. But can you talk about that strategy, both with the network as a whole, the brand as a whole, and then with your upcoming shows?
Sure. In terms of the importance of social?
Yeah.
Well, it is just key. It's very interesting. I literally just left a meeting where we were just talking about the shift and in terms of where we put our marketing efforts, our media dollars, a lot of our energy and our strategic focus. And it certainly has moved from, you know, even 5 years ago. And Freeform, I will say, I think has long been a leader in the space because of the demo, because of really big hits like Pretty Little Liars, and had an aggressive social strategy from the get-go. But that's expanded, you know, even more so. And it's expanded not just for a single specific show, but from an overall marketing strategy and from a brand perspective as well. You know, this is where our audience lives, eats, plays, works, dates, and, you know, frankly, where they spend 60% of their time. So it's at the core of everything we do. You know, even in terms of thinking about social content creation and on-air content creation differently and starting to blend those two things.
I was thinking about this interview, and I was thinking about how TV marketing, the truism about it has always been that the best air is your own air. But I think what's happening there is a good example of how now it's about going to where your audience is, which isn't necessarily on your own air at that moment, but going to where your audience is and then sending them to your show or to your brand wherever they want to be with that brand, which also might be different from your own air. So if you agree with that, how much harder does that make your job?
Well, I definitely agree with it. And it's, you know, the difference is not even so much about sending them back and forth. It's just about understanding that their expectation is that they're going to be in both places or, you know, at any place simultaneously, whether they're actually engaged in watching your show when
Right.
it's streaming on Hulu or whether they actually happen to be watching on your linear network, they're going to be consuming it with social as part of that experience.
Right.
So it's not that it necessarily makes it harder. I actually don't think it makes, for me, I don't think it makes it harder. In some ways, it's easier to have a personal connection with the audience.
Yeah.
It's just shifting your thinking so that you actually really embrace having that connection, that personal connection, that one-to-one connection, and you begin building that and leaning into that in a completely different way.
So that's actually a good segue into Grown-ish. So Grown-ish is a spinoff of ABC's Black-ish. It stars Yara Shahidi as Zoe Johnson, who is the oldest child in the Johnson family, and she's heading off to college at California University. So a few questions about that. So there's a story that's up on Daily Brief at brief.promaxbda.org. And in that story, you mentioned that you guys, part of the multifaceted marketing campaign is trying to recruit the Black-ish audience to Grown-ish. So how much overlap do you think there is there? Is Black-ish a show that tends to get co-viewed and is watched by the potential Grown-ish audience? Or how do you think those two shows interrelate? And how are you trying to take advantage of that for marketing purposes?
Well, I definitely think that there is, you know, real opportunity with the Black-ish, audience. There is passion for the show, passion for the characters, and also passion for the creator, Kenya Barris. So there's absolutely opportunity to, I think, introduce this new journey of Zoe's and bring that audience along, We're, you know, specifically looking at with an eye toward the younger end of the demo. So, you know, the 18 to 34 audience is our core target. Happy to have 18 to 49 audiences join us as well, but that definitely is still very much a part of the Black-ish composition. So we will go after them in a number of different ways through synergy efforts that we have that we have with ABC. It really helps to be able to use the power of Disney, the Disney difference, and join forces with not just ABC, but with the Disney synergy all the way across from the parks to working with Oh My Disney and Babbel, which are Disney lifestyle brands. So we're pulling all of those assets and all of that synergy together. But specifically with Black-ish, we're doing a number of different things. So obviously creating promos that will run in Black-ish that are going to obviously promote to Grown-ish, but also creating social content together so that we'll work back and forth, that we'll play back and forth between each of our social content, our social channels, and launching brand social campaigns together, which is, I think, interesting and new and different, a different approach.
So let's dive into that one just a little bit. So that would be like Anthony Anderson's character tweets something to Yara's character, Zoe, and they go back and forth across that channel. I'm kind of making that up. But is that sort of how that will work?
Well, so think about it this way. Some of the most entertaining pieces of social content is when you actually are reading text going back and forth between two different people, right?
We see this, parents to kids, yeah.
Exactly, parents to kids. Those are some of the most entertaining, like widely viewed. So imagine adopting that approach and, you know, seeing what conversations, when Zoe's at college, but she's still texting with her mom and dad, what those might be like.
Right.
And that's content that can play to both characters, both shows, and do it in a really authentic way, which is really important for our audience.
I mean, I think that's a really creative way to in some ways, maybe it seems a little obvious, but it's a very creative way to sort of take advantage of a larger trend and then just, organically incorporate it into this campaign, which it won't feel like a campaign, really. It'll just feel like content.
It'll feel like content. It should feel like content. And yes, but that's, you know, that is part about really living in, with this, you know, millennial and Gen Z audience. I mean, it's all about meme culture.
There's a really cute promo. This is also up on Brief, but where she's gone off to college and Anthony Anderson, his name is Dre, and the show is calling her from her closet yeah. and crying. It's pretty funny.
It's hilarious. And it's so funny because, I mean, I actually had that experience myself with when I took my first daughter. I wasn't calling and crying for my shoe closet, but I might as well have been. So it's, you know, that feels very authentic to both audiences, right?
Yeah. Do you feel like when, this is a side note, but do you feel like when you went to college that you had any awareness at all that your mom might have been crying about it?
I think she like opened the door and just let me out. I feel like, you know, she was bolting down the road as fast as she could.
I'm sure my mom was sad, but I really, you're so selfish when you're 18. I spent no time thinking about it.
Yeah, me either. I was on to, you know,
like,
whatever.
Bye. Hope everything's good. Yep. See ya. All right. So Yara, am I saying that right? Is it Yara or Yara?
Yara.
Yara. Okay. All right. So she comes with a large following on social media. So how are you guys leaning into that for Grownish?
Well, we've been working very closely with Yara in a lot of different ways. She is, you know, she has really become, first of all, amazing young woman, just amazing. She is really sort of emerging as this new voice for Generation Z, and has really become a force on her own, not just from social, but just from a cultural perspective, all the way, you know, from a cultural perspective at large. So, but we have worked with, you know, different media organizations and different partnerships in terms of platforming Yara as Zoe, you know, representing her character, but also leveraging her own young, strong voice. So different things from partnerships with Refinery 29 and programs with Teen Vogue that let her shine, again, in the appropriate environment. This is all social and digital, that let her shine both as who she is, but also to be able to reflect about the character and about what the character is going through. And it's fascinating because, you know, she's 18. I mean, she really is, you know, it really is sort of art imitating life, imitating art.
Mm-hmm. That's another thing about college, I think, that whenever I go back to my college and I see the kids there, I think, who let these kids be out in public? Okay, that's another side note. I just always feel like you should
let
these young children be alone. I don't understand. 18 just seems incredibly young. But so I wanted to ask you about Refinery 29, because I feel like you guys worked with them on The Bold Type as well, right?
We did.
So what is it about Refinery 29? And you might have said it back then, but what do you think it is about Refinery 29 that fits in so well with Freeform?
I think it's about, they really understand their brand, and their brand is really about exploring culture in a lot of different ways, and through a lot of different verticals. But that's very much what they're about, is creating these cultural conversations, and that's where we want to be. So they're a natural fit for us. They reach, we are talking to the, you know, the same demo, the same audience, and it works really well when we can do that collectively, when we each are bringing, you know, really interesting content or really interesting personalities to the forefront. And so that's, you know, I think that's why we work together well as brands.
Yeah, I think it's a cool partnership. So Yara herself is a social influencer, and then you guys are also working with other social influencers to promote the show. So what kinds of ways are you partnering with those influencers?
Well, a lot of different ways. I mean, we're partnering with them through events with our, you know, Refinery 29. We just did screening. We invited influencers. We had them come, and they'll be covering the show throughout the season. So we have, we have that. We have other influencers and what we call Instaculture sites that we partner with, like The Shade Room and Betches, that are actually developing custom content for us. So they're, you know, using through their own brand voice, their brand lens, but they'll be creating custom content about Grownish.
So, and then you have other platforms I know you're working with that you're specifically targeting for Grownish. So, for example, you had sort of a cool thing you're doing with Snapchat, if you wanted to talk about it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, you know, Snapchat is, you know, tremendous platform in terms of us being able to really generate high reach and impact, you know, with the right audience. So we're doing a couple of really interesting things. We're doing a filter takeover on 2,000 college campuses as they're actually happening on 17th and actually on day of premiere. So there's three different types of filters that that anybody on these college campuses can use. We're also doing a Teen Vogue Snapchat Discover takeover. And we're doing, as I mentioned, with Refinery 29, we'll also have a Snapchat Discover takeover with Refinery 29 on day of premiere.
And that day of premiere is Wednesday, January 3rd at 8 p.m. Pacific and Eastern time, although as we all know, you can watch it at other times besides that time.
But absolutely.
Is there anything else about marketing promotion for Grownish that you want to mention that I didn't give you a chance to talk about?
Just to say that I think that one of the other interesting areas that, you know, that we're really looking to explore is this show really is all about intersectionality, which is what millennials are about. So it really looking to bring that forward through the marketing and use that as a way to reach this young Gen Z audience who, quite frankly, they believe that all shows should have this type of representation and that it is completely reflective of the lives that they're living. So we want to make sure that through the marketing, whether it's, you know, social or otherwise, that, you know, that we're portraying that in a, you know, in an accurate way.
Oh, another thing I wanted you to talk about a little, and this promo is also up on Brief, but there's a really fun promo inspired by The Breakfast Club, and wanted you to tell that story.
Yeah. So The Breakfast Club, it's really this is how this came about. It was a great story. I got a call from Kenya one day. He said, I have this crazy idea for a promo. I want you to hear me out. And I said, sure, of course. You know, what is it? And he said, he said, I want to recreate the whistling scene from The Breakfast Club. He said, do you know what I'm talking about? And I said, of course. First of all, I love The Breakfast Club. You know, I've probably watched it a million times. My daughters have discovered it since then, also loved it. Ironically, I had just been talking with my 17-year-old the day before about the fact that she was going to dress up as Ally Sheedy's character in The Breakfast Club for Halloween. So that's how the whole idea came together. I said, let's do it, but let's obviously make it fresh and modern and bring, you know, a new fresh feel to it. So that's what we did. And in the pilot episode in the first episode of Grownish, you will see there definitely is a reference to The Breakfast Club. So it ties the whole thing together very nicely with a bow, and it's really super fun spot, and it was fun to shoot, and the cast was great.
Yeah, it does really it offers this fun modern take on it. It's funny with The Breakfast Club because that also was, I remember back in the day, you would rent a VCR. This is what we did. We had rented a VCR and we were watching movies and I was homesick and I literally watched The Breakfast Club 3 times in a row, like back to back. And it's interesting to me that movie appeals to like your 17-year-old daughter because, I mean, really that's 2 generations later. It's still resonating that much. And then that you
totally
can apply it to this show.
Yeah, it's totally still relevant. Well, okay, first of all, I want to laugh about the fact that, you know, you may have been the first binge viewer with with your rented rented VCR.
Yeah, and then videotape. Yep.
I think you invented binging, Paige.
Yeah, probably.
So, You were binging The Breakfast Club, and then fast forward to where we are now. And yeah, you know, it still has such resonant themes. It's so perfectly, at least for that moment, it sort of captures this group and what happens when you go, whether you're in college or whether you're in high school or whether you're going away to college, of honestly figuring out who you are and what you're about, you know, how you intersect with other people. And it's just such a great, it was such a great metaphor in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you guys should go watch it online. But what I really liked about it, and I was a little surprised, like, I didn't really think about, where is this going? But it really had such a specific tonal take on the promo. So it took that idea and then really made it Grownish's own. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to move on to Alone Together, which is a show about I want to say a boy and a girl, but it's probably a young man and a young woman. It comes from the guys at Lonely Island. And so if people know anything about Lonely Island, that should give you a sense that it's hilarious. It stars Esther Pavitsky and Benji Afalo. Again, I don't know if I'm pronouncing these things right. But and it's interesting because so I watched I watched the first trailer for the show when it came out in April, and that first trailer was really funny. Again, that's up on Brief. And this Freeform loves the show so much, it's already been picked up for a second season before the first one's even premiered. So can you tell me a little bit more about that show and why you guys love it so much?
Yes, it is an incredibly funny show in a very different way from Grown-ish. This show is about these two friends who are they have functional codependent dysfunction. That is literally the essence of the show.
Is that like a psychological description?
that is the psychological essence of the show, functional codependent dysfunction. And they are two friends that are, as we say internally, they are never, ever, ever getting together, which I think is a really fresh. It was one of the things that we found that as we were, working on the show and doing research around the show, that fans, viewers really like about the show. There is no will they or won't they. It is, it is abundantly clear that no, they won't. But they are that friend that you have this, like, codependent dysfunctional relationship with. So it's, in that way, it's completely relatable. And it is also quirky and different and messy and incredibly funny.
That's the relationship I would have with you if you would let me, but you just...
I think it's a relationship we do have.
Crying anyway.
Yeah.
Do you watch it and end up... I just know it. When I watch a show like this, I always end up shipping the couple, even though you're not supposed to. Does that occur to you at all? Or are you like, no, they never, in the Taylor Swiftian way, they will never, ever, ever be together?
That is it. That's exactly. They will never, ever, ever get together. They are just, that is just not who they are. So I actually don't think we'll see people ship them. And I don't think fans want them to get together. I think that's part of the appeal of the show and what makes it, unique in its own way, and a lot of things about it make it unique, but it's not about that. What it is about, and the other key part of the show is that these are two really sort of average people who live in LA in a world that is, of heightened everything, heightened sexuality, heightened beauty, the whole part of LA, and they're sort of in love with LA, and they want to be part of it. They want to be, they want to rub shoulders with models, and they want to be celebrities, and they are so not that. So that's another key part of the show, is that they're just, sort of completely average. And they are executive producers of the show, Esther and Benji. That's their character on the show, but that's also, who they really are. And again, they came to me and pitched an idea. They said, we want to do this whole bit about the fact that the network doesn't like us enough to actually give us a marketing campaign.
Yeah.
And I thought it was hysterical. I'm like, oh, we have to do this. So a key part of the campaign for this show is this premise that we, the network, Freeform, spend all our money on a mermaid, which may or may not be true. and that's a podcast for another day.
Yeah.
And we have nothing left to market the show with. So they actually had to crowdfund money to get a billboard. So they actually were on Twitter. If you go to Twitter, there is a, there they are with their Freeform says if we get 10,000 tweets, they'll give us a billboard. So they got 10,000 tweets. We actually gave them a billboard,
which they would have gotten anyway, but we won't tell them that.
I'm not so sure about that. I would not lock down the location until I saw that we were going to get 10,000 tweets. So, and then we created a bunch of promos that still play to this premise. And one of them, they get an email from us accidentally where we're exploring different taglines for the show, and none of them are good, and they're all a little mean. And then there's another one where they're at a photo shoot that they actually get, locked out of their own photo shoot because, the network tells them, well, we really only want to shoot with beautiful people. So
I saw some of these promos in my pre-podcast research, and the genius part about it is then they actually also promote other shows, like Pretty Little Liars, for example.
They talk about the fact that we don't have money for them, but they keep seeing promos for Pretty Little Liars.
Which isn't even on anymore. So how have you found it to be, I mean, I know that you as an experienced marketer have juggled launching many shows at once, so it's probably not a thing for you, but you're launching these two different shows at once. They have somewhat different sensibilities. So how are you, you know, working to, you know, make Alone Together, give it its own identity and sort of let it break out? Although obviously they're doing a good job on their own too.
Yeah. Well, they are not packaged together. I mean, they are, you know, we approach them strategically, both differently. They have obviously a lot of overlap in terms of going after comedy viewers, but there are distinct differences. And the shows themselves, while I do think that they are very complementary to each other, they are distinct and different. And we have to, you know, we have to create marketing that that gives them each, you know, their own voice.
Yeah.
And their own platform. So they are different, and the campaigns are different. The campaign for Alone Together is very meta, because it's honestly, it's about what the show's about. I mean, this is what would happen in the show. They would,
right.
you know,
That's
they
funny,
would,
yeah.
it's a very meta campaign, and by design. The other thing that we're doing, I think, that's interesting, and also a little bit different than what we're doing with Grownish, is that Alone Together is the kind of comedy that the show really sells itself. So we're going to put the first episode, we're going to make the first episode available on New Year's Day, everywhere that you can stream Freeform, everywhere that you can get Freeform. So across every platform imaginable, we're going to put the first episode out 10 days before the premiere of the show, because it really is one of those shows, once you watch it, you just want to watch more.
So they're average, but they're exceptional because you love them so much.
They are average. Yes, they are average, but completely exceptional in my eyes.
Exceptional. Yes.
So,
I think that one thing that you've talked about with both shows, and I just wonder if this is typical in your experience, where, you know, Kenya Barris offered the Breakfast Club idea, and then Esther and Benji offered the idea about needing to crowdfund their marketing. Is it common in your experience that the creators come in and have strong ideas for marketing campaigns?
It's not common that I would have two right off the bat who both had good ideas. It's pretty common that you get a lot of ideas from producers.
None to
It's less common that I actually liked both the ideas so much immediately and said, let's do this. So I feel very, very fortunate to be working with the producers on both these shows, because you know what it is? They both have a very clear vision for what the show is and who the characters are. Mm-hmm. And they're able to and they want to collaborate and be creative with us. And I think that, and particularly with comedy, I think that works really well. The other thing that's interesting, just sort of as a side note about both these shows, these are the first two comedies that will have premiered under Freeform as Freeform.
Oh, that is interesting.
There have been other comedies on the air since the rebrand mm-hmm. to Freeform, but they were shows that were comedies that were developed under the ABC Family banner. These are the first true Freeform comedies to emerge.
So do you feel like under that new brand, then these comedies are a little bit edgier, a little bit, you know, because ABC Family, I feel like, did try to get edgier as it went along, but was also kind of targeting that co-viewing idea, like moms and daughters. Whereas mm-hmm. I think Freeform is more, it's 18 to 34. And if you're a mom and you want to watch, cool, but this is who we're really targeting.
Yeah, absolutely. These have a different, both of these comedies have a very different tone and voice than I think the comedies that were developed under ABC Family for very good reasons. I mean, the brand is different and the filter is different. And so, yeah, these are definitely more provocative. They definitely go to some interesting places and explore new territory than I think that the comedies that were previously on the network did.
So, and then are Esther and Benji, are they both pretty active on social media?
Yeah, they are. They are. They're great. They've been, and they're both stand-up comics.
Right.
So that, you know, that also, you know, really works, you know, for us from a sort of social commentary perspective, from being able to do a lot of creative shoots with them. So, yeah.
Is there been any ways where you've been able to, kind of like you did with Yara, where you lean into Esther and Benji social media brands?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have them, you know, working closely with us to, like I said, to create all of these different unique ways to market the show under the Lower Your Expectation campaign.
Right.
So, you know, that includes the, you know, the stunt that I talked about where we had them tweeting, you know, to, you know, raise, to get 10,000 tweets, to get their own billboard. And we're also working with them to pull together. As comedians, they have a lot of comedian friends, friends and family. It's a pretty tight-knit circle. So, you know, we'll do a premiere screening event with them that will include influencers and, you know, leveraging, you know, the social media impact of both not just them, but also other influencers and, you know, their friends.
Well, and also since that show comes from Lonely Island and Lonely Island plays a lot in the digital space, do you feel like that helps in terms of working with the creators and the producers to expand the footprint across digital and social platforms?
Yeah, it does a couple of things. It absolutely does that in terms of being able to expand the footprint. And it also lends sort of an immediate credibility, particularly if you're really a true stand-up comedy fan. And we are certainly targeting that, you know, that audience, that group, then the Lonely Island immediately communicates, you know, a certain credibility and a certain sensibility.
I just expect like them to sing dirty songs, but that's what I know it's the Lonely Island for, but all right. And then anything else about the marketing for Alone Together you want to mention that I didn't give you a chance to talk about?
One other fun thing that we're doing is we're on New Year's Day. We're Freeform, so we love us some movies. We love us some movie marathons. So we're doing a whole stunt on New Year's Day called Hungover Together. So it'll be a movie marathon of a bunch of comedy movies, many of them starring Adam Sandler, and we'll have it will be co-hosted by Esther and Benji throughout the day.
Oh,
and this is also a platform for us to let people know that we're distributing the first episode of Alone Together that day everywhere you can stream it.
Okay. So everybody should watch it on New Year's Day, but it also premieres 1 week after Grown-ish on Wednesday, January 10th at 8:30 p.m. ETPT. I'm giving this time and date information, even though we all know it's not so relevant anymore. All right. That's everything I got. Do you have anything else, Trisha, or do you feel like it's pretty well covered?
I think we're covered.
All right. Well, thank you so much again for taking some time to join us. I will stalk you in my continuing efforts to create a codependent dysfunctional relationship with you and have an excellent holiday.
I'm there with you. You too.
All right. Bye, honey.
Bye.
Paige Alpiniak is editorial director of Promax BDA. LaFern Cusack is executive producer of the Daily Brief podcast and senior producer at Promax BDA. Video helper provides the music. Digital producer Kate LaCaire-Marion and social media coordinator Kristen Craik contribute to Daily Brief. Follow Paige on Twitter at Paige A. Follow LaFern at LaFern Cusack and follow Promax BDA at Promax BDA. You can reach out to us at dailybrief@promaxbda.org. And you can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Podomatic, and now on Spotify. Thanks for listening.